Upgrade your learning experience during Dell Technologies Back to School event with AI PCs like the Dell 14 Plus featuring an Intel Core Ultra processor starting at $749.99. Supercharge your studies with features like real-time notes transcription, AI-accelerated hardware to run multiple apps without slowing down, extended battery life, and more. That's the power of new AI PCs with Intel Inside. Discover a smarter way to learn at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
We're full service here, man. You come here, you get everything.
The Rich Eisen Show.
A dislocated toe. Sounds pretty damn bad.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I like Justin Fields.
A dislocated toe in his right foot. He's day to day.
He could be back tomorrow.
Okay.
See?
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
I need to put that foot in some Epsom sauce. Get that swelling out of there.
Today's guests, 3-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth, Steelers general manager Omar Khan, 3-time Emmy Award-winning actor Tony Hale. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, everybody. Hey, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live on the air on the Roku Sports Channel, on Infinity Sports Network, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate there, smart enough to house. Sirius XM Channel 375, the Odyssey app. We say hello to anybody out there listening later on our podcast. It is your right to listen to this show whenever you want. We greatly appreciate you taking it in. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for that. By the way, RichEisenShop.com is available. I don't have the mug out here. I should have some sort of an item out here if I'm talking about where you can get things.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah, you know what? I didn't plan very well. This is not the best planned caper. Anyway, 844-204-RICH, number to dial today. Mark Schlereth is on this program. Tony Hale is back on this program.
Love Tony Hale.
We do love Tony Hale.
Love Tony
All
Hale.
Sorts of good in that particular hood. And so much more. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman.
Rich, good morning.
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts 2 days in a row. Most of the, I think, 3 out of 5. 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
Ain't bad this week.
Don't sound shocked. You.
Well, guess what?
That we're shocked.
Hold on a minute. I shouldn't say that because you're here and TJ's not. A very rare. Good one. A very rare empty chair for TJ Jefferson.
Wow.
The candle is not lit.
You want me to light it?
No.
It's okay. No?
We'll just act
Maybe
like
I'll go
it
get
is.
It. No, yeah, no, light it somewhere.
We got to light
what
it.
What is this, the Olympics?
Yeah, gotta have something the flame has to be going.
Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
It's like kind of it's a band.
Well, I guess the flame is currently touring the good people of
the Eastern time zone.
Yeah, Eastern time zone.
Yeah, Eastern.
Not the right. Not the coast.
It's the Flames in Altoona. I believe he's a family reunion that he's traveling.
I believe
for?
So. Yeah, fantastic. The Jefferson clan getting together.
Fantastic. So TJ is not here, so we'll just trash the Cowboys like we do to his face every single day on the show. You know, it's interesting. Yesterday, the show began with the Jet season over, and then the show ended with the Jet season still alive and the Steelers season being over.
Because
Aaron Rodgers threw an interception in his first pass attempt of his Steelers training camp career.
First play of team drills.
Not like it was an overreaction Monday on a Thursday. But that's what it was. because it began, the show began with Justin Fields limping off the field, and then as the reports came out, being carted off.
Yeah, the carted was like, whoa. Yeah.
Well,
I really ramped things up.
Right,
the,
like that came out on my phone alert
Fascinatingly enough, from the ESPN fantasy site, that's what the alert came in on. Yeah. The word carted off. And then, as Tom Pelissero told us mid-show, it's a dislocated toe, not the big toe. It's not broken. And who knew dislocated is better than broken?
Right.
Okay. That's the podiatry of this that I did not know. And then the information was, yes, carted off, but he's sitting shotgun because, you know, if somebody's limping off the field, get him a cart, which, you know, would have been great for, say, Trevor Lawrence a couple of years ago, right, in Jacksonville, right? Isn't that amazing? In Duval County, where there are probably more golf carts per capita, except, what, the Villages portion of Florida. And so it made sense. They carted him off, and yada, yada, yada. Cut to today. And the Jets show him running out on the field.
He's back. There doesn't appear to be much hitch in that giddy-up.
Never left.
No.
So they said he was day-to-day, and then on this day, he trots over to the fans and starts signing autographs.
He's back.
My man.
And there you go. So the Jets, I think, made it particularly noted that he's running out on the field, smiling, meeting with fans. And he did not practice. He didn't do anything out there for all of us to see. But, hey, I would have been interested to know that when I came on the air yesterday and said it was the football gods kicking the Jets fans in the nards again.
One more time.
And what will it take for the Jets fans to not get kicked in the nards anymore by the football gods? Especially when Justin Fields used to be at Pittsburgh. He's now at the Jets. He's taking on Pittsburgh. The Jets are in the first week of the season going against Aaron Rodgers, who used to be a Jet, is now a Pittsburgh Steeler. And the Jets put all their eggs in this 26-year-old kid's basket. And then all of a sudden, oh, dislocated toe. Sounds terrible. Carted off. Sounds terrible. But put it all together. Not so bad. And Aaron Glenn today, stepped to the podium and kind of gave everyone a little bit of I told you so, because he's like, let's take a look at what's happening.
Yep.
We can see what happens with the MRI.
Well, and Aaron Glenn seemed to know, like, just on the play call that everything was going to be fine.
Well, he's like, you know what? He said on the play call, he knew it was probably him getting stepped on.
Right.
Not like some non-contact situation,
right.
Which sounds bad.
Right.
Roll tape.
Justin, he's going to be day to day. He has this toe that was dislocated. So the huge storm that was created really made no sense. And I think that's a lesson for all of us of, guys, let's just wait till we get the diagnosis. I will not BS you. All right, I will tell you exactly what it is, and we'll move on. So that shouldn't happen again.
Who was making a storm out of it?
Greeny acting like it was 1963.
I might have made a molehill into something mountainous. I don't know. But hey, Aaron, come here. Let me just take you aside for a second. I feel like I'm like Jon Stewart. I'll meet you at camera three. Been away a long time, you know? Haven't been a Jet since 2001. Stuff's happened. You know?
Stuff's happened.
Yeah. You know, Rex Ryan started taking the team in the AFC Championship game with Mark Sanchez. And stuff happened. You know? I mean, we can review. Draft a guy, second round. You know, he's their quarterback, and he's going to be their quarterback. And then there's apparently a $600 golf debt, and the guy who's owed the money clocks Geno Smith in the mouth and just breaks a jaw, you know. And suddenly he's not the quarterback anymore, you know what I mean? Yada, yada, yada. These things happen. And just as a reminder, this is going to happen again. Okay? The word hysteria is definitely the middle name of Jet and fan, okay? Hysteria. They're waiting for the hysteria of a canyon and a hero, and the middle name is of. Like that's the hysteria. They're waiting for all that. So it's going to happen again. It has nothing to do with trusting you, Aaron. But yeah, it's going to happen. Storm's going to happen. And hopefully it'll be a quieter storm. But good to see the kid running out there because he deserves it.
Absolutely.
He deserves it.
Right.
And watching back what we talked about yesterday, I kind of lamented I made it more about the Jet fan and not a 26-year-old kid getting an opportunity here in New York City with a 2-year contract and everybody putting their faith in him and believing in him. And he is the leader of an offense. But it's good to see. Especially now the Steelers season is over.
Done.
It's finished.
Before it even started. What
Omar Khan, the general manager of the Steelers, is going to join us in hour number two. And the quarterback, du jour, putting all the eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket. Quarterback targeting DK Metcalf, his new receiver, who apparently, as you know, was throwing to when he was pondering.
Out here.
Yeah.
UCLA.
Well, first pass intended for DK Metcalf, picked off by Patrick Queen. Mm. Now, there was a hot minute rumor that it was Jalen Ramsey
who did it.
That their new quarterback targeting their new receiver got picked off by their new quarterback, which would have been great for Omar Khan. Hey, you're the general manager. You like that? Because, hey, I mean, there's two sides to the ball, and those two sides are not going to go against each other in the regular season or playoffs, right? You're going to go against the other team. Long story short, Aaron Rodgers, been there, done that. Training camp interceptions, whatever, hit it.
And it's good to get that out the way. It's good to get it out the way. I mean, anybody that's watched me practice over the years, you know, you like to try certain throws at certain times. And anybody that's watched me in the games knows I've been pretty stellar taking care of the football over the years. So there's going to be picks for sure. I'm going to try to fit certain things in. You know, you got to deal with some sweat on the ball from time to time, so it's going to be a good challenge for me throwing this heat every single day. I look forward to it, but I'm going to throw some picks. But I'm going to throw some touchdowns, too.
Love it. Love it. Training camp interceptions are just a massive overreaction.
Totally.
Magnet.
It means literally nothing.
Of course it does, because guys make throws in practice just to make throws in practice
right,
that they would never do in a game.
Right.
There's also, you know, sweaty footballs.
Sweaty footballs.
You know what I mean?
It's hot. It's humid. It's muggy.
Are those different than sweaty balls?
SNL fan? Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, think so.
He's throwing on. He threw DK Metcalf a sweaty ball.
My balls was hot.
That's another one.
Thank you.
Good one, Mike. Excellent.
Like Friday, you're on one already.
So, Steelers season's not over.
Not over.
As a matter of
fact,
they are one of the few Super Bowl competitive teams that are out there, according to their new quarterback.
I think most of the 32 teams would probably say something to that accord at this time of the year. But I think that, you know, there's really only 6 to 8 that really have a legitimate chance. Sometimes it's 10 to 12, and there's teams that surprise you. But I would say on paper, we're probably one of those 10 to 12.
I would agree with that as well.
Interesting. Okay.
I know you have the Steelers in your bottom five.
Yeah, that was just...
Would you care to, now that this man is in town, Jalen Ramsey's in the mix,
would you care to amend that?
Yeah,
they're not in the bottom 10.
Well, he says they're in the top 10.
I don't think so.
Let's do 10 to 12.
I think they're firmly in the middle.
Come on. They're not a top 12 team in the NFL?
I don't think so, no.
Rodgers and DK...
What year is this?
Okay. And Ramsey and Queen and Watt and Hayward and an offensive line that is
Let's go down each division and pick out the 10 to 12. Do you think can win the Super Bowl this year?
Okay,
legitimately win.
Okay,
we'll start in the AFC East.
Bills.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
Just the Bills.
I mean,
Bills.
The Dolphins might surprise.
They can't win the Super Bowl.
I mean, if we're just creating a list here of 10 to 12, I will leave the Dolphins off.
Yeah, you can't put them.
Only two or three divisions can have two teams.
I'd put three from the AFC North.
You're going to put Cincinnati in there?
Absolutely.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
They're running back the exact same defense that they went 9-8 last year.
They were the new coordinator, and they can't get any worse. How does that sound?
Trey Henderson is not there.
Dude, they were the team didn't want to see get in the playoffs.
Because of the offense.
He's going to be there,
Trey Henderson. Their literal best defensive player is not there.
They'll get Shamar Stewart in there, too.
I'm not putting Cincinnati.
Shamar Stewart's not going back to – he's not pulling a Thornton Mellon. He's not going back to school.
So you go Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati.
I just did.
I don't know.
All right, so now I've got four in, you've got three in. right?
You're putting, so you're putting, you have two in.
Huh?
I'm not putting Pittsburgh in there. I just have Baltimore.
Are you putting Baltimore? Are you putting you're not putting Cincinnati in either.
No.
Okay. I've got four. You've got two.
Two.
Texans.
Anybody from the South?
Texans. Come on, man. They've made the final four of their conference the last 2 years.
Who is on offense for them? That's other than the quarterback and Joe Mixon
and
Nico Collins.
I'm putting the Texans in there.
You think
too.
They can win the Super Bowl?
You predicted them to make the damn game last year, didn't you?
Well, vibes were high.
Okay.
I think we've done a little correction. I don't know. They won a playoff game 2 years. All right, we'll put
2 years in a row.
All right, we'll put Houston in there.
I've got five. You've got three.
How about the West? You're going to put three in the West?
I'm putting the Chiefs and the Chargers.
Ooh.
See, I put the Broncos in
there? See, I like Denver better than Pittsburgh.
Well, okay.
So I'll put three.
You'll put three. So you now have six, and I've got seven. Keep going.
NFC East.
I've got the Eagles and the Commanders.
Two. Yeah.
I think that's fair.
You now have eight. I've got nine.
NFC
All due respect
North.
To Dallas. I got to see it, brother.
NFC North.
Yeah. I'm putting the Lions and the Vikings and the Packers. Ooh. I've got 12 now.
The Vikings with a rookie quarterback?
Joe Banner, who has called all his shots damn near spot on accurate, talking about how when the Eagles made the Super Bowl couple years ago, he's saying they're not only going to make it back, but I think the Chiefs and the Eagles are going to play again. And then they did. And he said yesterday, neither are going to make it. And he said Bills Vikings are his favorites. I heard that. I'm like, I'll throw that in there too.
I think I only have the Lions in the North.
You now have nine.
NFC South.
I got the Bucks.
I think that's it.
That's good.
NFC West.
I've got the Rams and the Niners.
I agree with that.
I've got 15 teams that can win the Super Bowl. You've got 12.
Okay.
Is Pittsburgh in that?
How can you not? The Steelers with Russell Wilson had themselves in position, and Rodgers is going to be better than Russ.
In position?
Last year,
they absolutely fell apart down the stretch.
I am fully aware of what happened down the stretch, Chris. You don't think the Steelers have a chance to win the Super Bowl right now?
I am not a believer in Rodgers.
There's a difference between seeing to believe it and also just not believing it.
I need to see what eight looks like.
I think eight's going to look better than you think.
I would love to be proved wrong here, but I just can't see it so far.
I have 15. You've got 12.
Okay.
You don't think the Packers could put it together?
You love
Matthew Golden, bro.
I do. I think this is a really big, crucial year for Jordan Love.
All right.
You need to show me that you're a superstar.
Again, you view it in terms of like, you don't want me to talk ill of you, or you don't want to hear you talked ill on half of ESPN and FS1 and across the dials. I'm like, he's got a long-term contract. He's going nowhere. It's not that crucial.
It's a pretty big year for him.
Okay. All right.
And they have so many receivers, but do you have one guy?
The Vikings won 14 games last year with Sam Darnold. Even if they're two games worse, that's 12 wins and they're making the playoffs.
Okay.
And the defense is terrific.
How'd it go when they got to the playoffs last year?
Not great.
Yeah.
But they didn't have a national champion at quarterback who lost only one game at Michigan.
Who wasn't asked to win the game.
That is not true.
Well.
The Rose Bowl, he was asked to win the game, and he did.
I don't know.
And also, the issue is Michigan's run game might be better than Minnesota's.
I think that's 100%
right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Although Jordan Mason is now there. Aaron Jones is there. But, okay. And you need to be arm twisted about the Texans, and you do not believe the Bengals have a chance to win the Super Bowl?
I don't. They have the same team as last year.
Joe Burrow in January would scare me down to my drawers.
Right, but they have to stop some people to get to January. And they have the same defense, and their best player is in Florida.
And the top draft choice they added to that defense is who knows where. We do not know.
We do not know. He has not Instagrammed out his location.
No, he has not. I'm sure he's being told just lay low, sir.
So I can't ride with Cincinnati right now.
Good talk, everybody. And this, by the way, this goes completely counter to this time of year in training camp where everybody thinks they have a shot.
All 32.
And
like,
we've got a ton of great sound bites that we've heard over the last 2 hours. We're going to play you later on. Omar Khan, the GM of the Pittsburgh Steelers, will join us in hour two. Mr. Tony Hale, one of our favorites from back in the day of Arrested Development and, of course, Veep and the mysterious Benedict Society, which is a dynamite show if you ever want to watch anything with your kids. And, of course, you do. His new film, Sketch, is available in theaters nationwide beginning next Wednesday, August 6th. Oh, actually, a couple Wednesdays from now, August 6th. And currently 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. So that's good news. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Mark Schlereth is going to join us. We'll ask him what we just did. Let's just do that again.
I love it.
With the great Mark Schlereth coming up next.
So, you know, we love talking movies around here. You know, we love talking comedy around here. We also love talking about classics around here. So, you know what I'm all about. That said, all of that said, you know how I must have felt when I was sitting in the movie theater like I was the other day watching the previews, and up came a preview for The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. That preview had me at hello. I loved Police Squad back in the day. I loved The Naked Gun back in the day. And here comes The Naked Gun once again with, yes, Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. Come on now. Son of the celebrated Police Squad Lieutenant Frank Drebin from the original movie. Paul Walter Hauser's in this movie also. Pamela Anderson. Guess who also makes an appearance? WWE superstar Cody Rhodes, and the producer of the movie is Seth MacFarlane, the creator of The Family Guy. Come on now. This is going to be so much fun. I'm excited to see The Naked Gun in theaters on August 1st. So, what are you doing August 1st? Of course, you're going to a theater near you, and you're seeing The Naked Gun. I might even be there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
The McDonald's snack wrap is back. You brought it back. Ranch snack wrap. Spicy snack wrap. You broke the internet for a snack. Snack wrap is back. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
We're learning Jared Verse is not only great at the game of football, defensive rookie of the year last year. Teron Armstead said he basically retired because of him. Remember that? He said that?
Yep.
But he's one of the best sound bites. Here he is telling a story about working out with Aaron Donald.
I show up. It's like 11 in the morning. I'm thinking we got like an hour workout. I got plans after. I got things I got to do throughout the day. I was planning on watching film and everything like that. We show up. He doesn't say hi and nothing like that. He sees me. He's like, come on. Gives me a little dap up. We walk inside. He's like, stretch how you have to. I stretch. We do four, everything he does is like a circuit. We do four workouts, it's all cardio. VersaClimber bike, lunges and core, four rounds each. You do all that, you're already tired, you're kinda like, oh my God, whatever. Then you do four sets of core, two different like workouts, so it's like eight different workouts, four sets each. You do all that for four sets. You go through, he's like, are you ready for the real workout? I'm like, buzz, I've been here for 45 minutes, what are you talking about? We go to the weight room, it's all arms, that's why he's big as hell. We go to the weight room, it's like eight different circuits, all arms, four sets each. I'm there for an hour and a half. His wife came in laughing at me. I told her to call the police. I'm dead serious. Like, I'm not even joking. I'm dead serious. I told her to call the police. She wouldn't do it. I tried to lie and say my mom was at my house and I had to go let her in. He told me to give my keys to his his management or assistant or something. They'd go let my mom in. So I wasn't leaving. Finished the workout. I'm like dead tired. I'm exhausted. I had a plan to jump in the sauna afterwards. Didn't happen. Had plans to watch film. Didn't happen. Went home and I didn't work out for like another like day and a half because I couldn't move my body.
How is my cardio of the day listening to that? I almost dry heaved in the middle of it.
I feel like I dropped 5 pounds just listening to all that. Bro, I've been here 45 minutes. What do you mean?
He's lying. I got to let my mother in the house. He goes, give me the keys. I'll give it to my assistant. She'll let in. What?
That's awesome.
The what?
I love it.
Isn't that great? Oh, my God. What a hilarious story. Perfectly told. And also, let's start the rumor. Aaron Donald is ready to come back
ready
to the Rams.
Ready to come back. Yep. He's at a moment's notice.
Put out there on Twitter. What the hell do we care? It's not accurate. Wait a minute. Did I just say that? Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, everybody. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Let's be joined once again by our friend from Fox Sports, ladies and gentlemen, three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth back on the program. Good to see you, Mark. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Rich. You know, Aaron Donald.
Yes, sir.
That I said it forever. Aaron Donald, to me, is the best football player. He was the best football player in the league all the years that he played. The guy was a one-man wrecking crew. But I had a meeting with him the first time I met when he's playing with the Rams, and I sat down with him, and I said, hey, it's third down and 12. What's your go-to move? And he just stared at me. So I thought maybe he didn't understand the question. I was like, okay, wait, now it's like the game is on the line, third down and 12. What are you hitting the offensive line? You got one-on-one with the guard. What's the go-to move? What are you going to beat him with? And he just looked at me, and he goes, why would I tell you that? Why would I? He's like, why would I let that information out? I'm not telling you, like, I'm not telling you anything. Those are trade secrets. Like, we've ever since then, we've had the greatest relationship, because every time I see him on the field, I go, hey, it's third and 12. He's like, get out of here. I'm not talking to you about this. He's just one of those dudes that, man, I tell you what, he made me glad that I didn't play anymore every time I watched that guy play, because that dude was unbelievable, just unreal.
Teron Armstead was here, and he said multiple times outside of being here as well, saying that essentially Jared Verse, with such heavy hands and such moves, made him start to realize maybe I should retire. Was there a guy like that for you, Mark?
Pretty much all of them.
Come on now.
I kept like, oh my God, this guy again. There, like the first time, I don't know if you remember Jamal Williams, who played for the Chargers, and the Chargers had such an unbelievable defense back when I was playing. Their offense stunk, and we always beat them like 24-7, but it was the hardest game we ever played.
Sure.
And I'll never forget breaking the huddle, and Jamal Williams is a rookie, and he's lined up across the line of scrimmage. And I'm walking up the line of scrimmage, and he's got no tape on his fingers, no tape on his wrist. He doesn't have gloves on. And I thought to myself, I was walking up, is, oh, shoot. Like, I'm in trouble. Like, this guy's a lot tougher than me. He got no tape anywhere. Like, that to me was like it was like, uh-oh. Like, if they start coming out here and not wearing tape on things, like, these guys are tougher than I am. And so there was quite a few of those guys over the course of my career that you're just like, man, this is going to be a long, long day.
And then just wrapping up this part of a conversation, who was the workout warrior when you were playing? Who was the guy that Jared Verse was describing as Aaron Donald when you were in the league?
You know, the guy that always blew me away with the shape that he maintained all year and the way he ate was Shannon Sharp. I mean, Shannon Sharp, buckwheat pancakes, no syrup, never ate a piece of fried chicken, everything he put in his body was plain boiled chicken. He used to just eat boiled chicken.
Jeez.
And he would come into training. He would come into minicamp and he'd be like 250 and ripped. I mean, big 250 and ripped. And then he'd come into camp like 3 months later and he'd be 228. And just like if you threw a cat on him, the cat couldn't claw in and stick. He just slide right down. There's not an ounce of fat on the guy. And you would just marvel, like, his body. And he still has that type of body and that type of discipline, man. That dude had the most disciplined regiment when it came to eating and working out of any guy I've ever been around.
Yeah, that's why what's so amazing about DK Metcalf is he eats candy, like simple sugar candy. And he still looks like the phrase Daniel Jeremiah used when he came out of the draft and he was at the combine. He said he was he called him a human bat suit, is what he referred to DK Metcalf, you know?
Yeah. No, the dude is and the nicest guy, but you're right, eats garbage. Like, I played in a Pro Bowl with Randall McDaniel, and Randall McDaniel was like, he was put together. You want to talk about a great athlete, Hall of Fame guard, the unbelievable. Like, I couldn't watch Randall McDaniel film because he could do things that nobody on the planet could do. And I would be like, anytime we followed like Minnesota and I'm prepping for a defense, you know, and so you get certain teams, there's certain guys I like to watch. Like, how did Bruce Matthews play this guy? I used to always get Bruce Matthews tape or Steve Wisniewski tape. How did he play him? How did he set him? Let me see what I can learn from these guys, right? Randall McDaniel, I'd be like, can that take? Like, that's useless to me, because he'd take false steps and everything else, and he'd be on guys and just absolutely dominating. Like, if I ever took that step, I would get beat 100 out of 100 times, yeah. Like, because he was so athletic. But Randall McDaniel shows up to the Pro Bowl, sits in his locker before the game, and eats a bag, same thing, a bag of candy. He had all, like, every kind of candy you could imagine. And that's all he's eating. And you're like, how do you have that type of body, that type of strength, that type of just athleticism, it. And all you eat is candy? Like, it was his pregame meal.
It's amazing. Some people's metabolism, right? Mark Schlereth here, yeah, on the Rich Eisen Show. Aaron Rodgers said there's about usually 6 to 8, if not maybe 10 to 12 teams in training camp that on paper can win the Super Bowl. And considers the Steelers one of those teams. Would you, Mark?
Yeah, depending upon how Aaron plays. And I did a Rodgers game late in the season, and Aaron and I have been friends for a very long time. And so it was interesting watching the beginning of the season and just watching the highlights. And what, like, when you're calling games, you're so knee deep. Like, you're in this silo that's in, you know, an inch wide and a mile deep of the team that you're going to call. So you're watching and trying to keep up with the rest of the league, right?
Right.
And I had seen that he wasn't really performing very well early in the season. By the time I got him in December, he had about a 3-game stretch, man, where he was dealing. And the game I got him in was against Jacksonville. And he actually, I mean, he lit it up. I think Devontae Adams had over 200 yards receiving in that game. I mean, he lit them up. And it was interesting because I'm on the field before the game, and I'm watching all the quarterbacks throw, and I'm watching Aaron Rodgers throw. And let me just tell you, the arm talent, the ball jumps. I mean, freaking jumps out of his hand. And you're like, oh my gosh. And then there's 25-year-old quarterbacks on the other side and the backups. And they're not even from the same planet. Mm. Like, you're watching, you know, the other quarterbacks, Mac Jones throw the ball. And he's like, it's not close. At 40 years old, it's not close to what Aaron does, to where he puts the ball, the velocity comes out of his hand with, and he played really good football. So if he can stay healthy, like, it's a huge key. And then Arthur Smith, you know, implementing the things that Aaron Rodgers does exceptionally well with the running game that Arthur Jones, the offensive coordinator of the Pittsburgh Steelers, puts together. You're going to see a lot of two tight formations. I love Freiermuth. I love what they did with Jonnu Smith. Like, I think that this is a team that can truly compete if Aaron Rodgers is healthy within that division. Got T.J. Watt signed, made some additions on the defensive side of the ball. I think they've got a real legitimate chance.
Are the Broncos one of those 10 to 12 teams right now that you could think are a Super Bowl contender, Mark?
I really think that they're a team that continues to build, right? I think one of the things they have right now is continuity. Sean Payton has put a really good team together. I think there are some places that you would look, you know, running backs a question, outside of Cortland Sutton from a receiving standpoint. Do they have a guy that can take some pressure off of him? But Sean has got himself the right quarterback. And I think one of the cool things talking to Sean about Bo Nix, the things that he loved about Bo Nix, his ability to process. He said he sat down in their pre-draft meeting. He gave him a load. Like, he gave him more than anybody could ever digest, gave it to him at like 6 o'clock in the evening, had a meeting with him the next morning at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, whatever it was. And he said, Bo Nix knew the offense inside and out, had an A+ grade as far as learning that playbook and all the information they gave him to learn. And then the things he loved about him: throws the ball on time and accurate. And you cannot be accurate in the National Football League if you don't throw the ball on time. And then ultimately doesn't take sacks. And that was the biggest thing. And Sean has the same philosophy I do when it comes to sacks. The way the game is operated today, there's very few 7-step drops, 5-step drops with multiple hitches, right? The game is quick. It's outside the numbers. It's get the ball into your playmaker's hands and go. Sacks have become more a quarterback-driven statistic than an offensive line-driven statistic. And so if you don't take sacks as a quarterback, you don't take them because you get the ball out on time, you get the ball where it's supposed to go, a lot of 3-step, a lot of 5-step drops without hitches. Like, you shouldn't take sacks. So if you do, that's on you as a quarterback oftentimes more than it is on anybody else. That's your responsibility. And he loved that factor about Bo Nix. But the thing that really resonated with me about, I can't remember which game exactly it was, but they came off the field in Sean Payton and Sean Payton fashion. got in, like he just got in Bo Nix's ass, right? And started yelling at him when he's coming off the sideline. And Bo Nix just flipped around and got right back in Sean's face and then walked away. And that to me was when Sean Payton was like, oh, I got my guy. I got my guy, right? This is my guy.
Yeah.
And you know, we've all had those moments as players when a coach sees something from the sideline, but it's not what. Yeah, what he thought he saw is not what actually happened.
Right.
And you'll be getting your ass ripped. You're going to the sideline. I remember a story with a guy that I just have so much reverence for. Alex Gibbs coached the offensive line in Denver when we were in back-to-back championships.
Sure.
And I remember him showing this Polaroid, getting in my face. I was sitting on the bench after a series, and he's got this Polaroid picture. He's like, look, you screwed this up. You know, he's dog cussing me. And I'm like, dude, that ain't what happened. That ain't what happened. And I kept saying that that's not what went on. I was trying to explain to him. And he is just in my, he's just in my grill. And finally I was holding onto my helmet by the face mask. I just took my helmet and tried to break his sternum. Wham! I hit him, like knocked the air out of him. And he stumbled back a little bit. I said, if you think you can block these guys, be my guest. If not, get the blank out of my face. Right. And so like, there's this intense moment. And then I get my grade sheet the next day and it doesn't say, hey, I was sorry or anything like that. It just goes, you were right. That was it. That was the end of the conversation. We never spoke about it again. Right? It was just like, you were right. Boom. Let's move on.
I love it. These are
And so some of those things happen,
sure,
but it's the things that bond you together. Right. Right. And it makes you respect one another's opinions. And if you have an opinion on, man, this is why I did it and I'll stand by it, then I think coaches and players respect each other for those things.
I love it. I love it, Mark. Great stories. Love them. But that was a yes or no question I asked you at the top. I don't think I heard an answer. Are the Broncos one of the teams on paper that can win the Super Bowl this year, do you think, Mark? Yes or no?
I do. Yeah, I do believe. I believe they've got a great defense, unbelievable defense. I think Hufanga coming in there. I think Dre Greenlaw coming in really helps bolster them. There's some question marks, but I think they, once you get in the playoffs, you've got a shot. So I think they've, on paper, they're one of those 12 teams that have a shot at winning a championship.
Yeah, man. I love Jody Barron also as a draft choice with the defensive reigning defensive player of the year in the same secondary as well. What about the Vikings? Are they one of the teams that can win the Super Bowl this year on paper? Are they one of those teams right now?
I'm going to say, I would say no. And I think the Vikings are really exceptionally well built, but I think there are going to be some growing pains early for JJ McCarthy, as there are for most young quarterbacks and most young players. And I don't know if they're going to be able to overcome that. I still look at that division. Chicago with Ben Johnson, that's going to be a much improved football team. Ben Johnson, a great play caller, really understands the offense, really understands just football in general. I have a ton of respect for him. I look at Dan Campbell, what he's built in Detroit. And, you know, Dan Campbell, I always say this about that guy, because people will look at it and go, hey, he lost both his coordinators. Dan Campbell he plays the role of meathead exceptionally well. The guy is a super smart football guy. He's got his finger on the pulse of that team. They have done unbelievable things. I think they'll be right back in the thick of things. Green Bay, obviously, under LaFleur, really good football team. They had some struggles. Obviously, Love having some injury issues early in the season. But I think that division is so tough. I would say Minnesota's on the outside looking in as far as one of those teams that can win the Super Bowl.
So you put Green Bay above them?
I'd put Green Bay and Detroit above them, and then kind of neck and neck with Chicago.
Okay. So let's run through this in the few minutes we have left here, because we did this at the top of the show. Why not? Let's go division by division. How many in the AFC East are Super Bowl win contenders?
Buffalo. One.
Okay, one. And then the AFC North. Who do you have there?
I would have the two teams that I'd like in the North are obviously Baltimore's got a real shot, and Pittsburgh would be my number two team.
Over the Bengals. You don't think the Bengals have, because of who's holding out right now? What if they, let's just say the Bengals are fully constituted. You still don't think that Burrow could be that? Because I said yes earlier, Mark, because they were the team at 9-8 last year. Like, don't let them in the tournament. And their defense wasn't that great at all, as we know.
Defense was bad. And you know, their offensive coordinator came out in this offseason and said, hey, we're just going to have to outscore people.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. How did that work for you last year?
Not great.
Right. I just don't like the way they're constructed. Mm-hmm. I don't like the way their offense operates. And I would say that Zach Taylor, you know, if you're talking about hot seat coaches, Brian Daboll's on the hot seat, right? Zach Taylor would be one of my guys that's on the hot seat right now. And you've got one of the best quarterback. I think he's the best quarterback in football. I really do. But I don't like defensively. I don't like the way they're structured. And I don't like the way their offense is structured. I think you put too much, like that guy has got to play on the high dive from start of the game to the end of the game. You don't have the breather plays. You don't do like you put him on the high dive. And you say, hey, man, go win us a game. And I just think that's an unfair position, even with a great quarterback, to put that guy in at all times. I just don't like the way they're built.
AFC South. How many teams are in that Super Bowl win contention?
Put Houston zero. In
there? Zero. Okay.
I just don't think Houston. I don't think Houston's ready. Like they're a playoff team, but are they going to compete for a championship? No, I think they're, you know, maybe get to a divisional game, wild card divisional game, you know, that weekend. But I don't see them as an AFC championship contender.
So you put Denver in before in our conversation as a contender, win contender. Chiefs obviously there. Do you put the Chargers in that mix?
I do. I think that division is really, really tight. And I think the Raiders are much better as well.
Sure.
I don't know if you're going to get three teams out of that division. Like you did a year ago. I don't know if you're going to get that because I think that division is so tight right now. I think the Raiders under Pete Carroll, obviously, you know, they went out and they got the running back in the draft who, like, it's against my core belief to say anything nice about a Boise State player.
Nice.
But Ginty is unbelievable. That guy is great. And obviously Geno Smith, I think, is a huge upgrade at the quarterback position.
All right, let's whip through the NFC. How many NFC East teams are Super Bowl contention teams?
I think there's two teams.
Okay.
Philly, obviously. I think Washington is still there.
Okay.
I think the Cowboys are playoff contention, but I don't put them as a Super Bowl contender.
How many in the NFC North? You'd mentioned Detroit and you mentioned the Packers, but that's it?
Yeah.
Or you put two, the Packers in. Yeah. You do the put the Packers in.
Okay. I put the Packers in Detroit in there.
NFC South. Tampa?
Tampa.
Tampa.
I put Tampa
it,
in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then in the West, NFC West.
I put the Rams and the Niners.
And the Niners just because of past performance and, the you know, a lot of these guys are back and healthier.
Yeah.
And Robert Saleh's there now.
I'm a believer in Saleh, huge. Obviously, Kyle Shanahan, I'm a huge believer in Kyle Shanahan. I'm a big believer in Brock Purdy. The way he processes information and gets through his reads and, you know, a lot of it is dependent upon a healthy Christian McCaffrey. And, you know, he's just such a weapon for them. But I think the one thing that happens sometimes when you have a lot of injuries, kind of the blessing in disguise, is you find a lot of young players that you're like, oh, my God, that kid can really play. Oh, my goodness, we can move on from, you know, from that particular player. And I think that's what Kyle Shanahan found in Juwan Jennings, even though he's got the, you know, the contract thing that he's going through right now. I think he found that in a lot of young players on the defensive side as well. So I really like the way they're constructed. And the reason they moved off those guys is because they found some young players that could really, really play. Pearsall really played well at the end of the year last year. So I think they feel pretty confident in the young players and how they established themselves.
Fitting you, and we end with Purdy because the number of Super Bowl contending winning teams you've just named are 13. 13 out of 32. Yeah. So about a third of the league here, more than a third of the league, which makes sense.
Yeah, when I came in the league, we had 28 teams in the league, and Joe Gibbs, it's the first meeting we ever had at training camp, said there's 10 teams in the league that can compete for a championship, and we're one of them. And it hasn't changed much since then, even though you've, you know, increased to 32 teams, it hasn't changed a whole lot.
Mark, you're the best, brother. Let's do this again before the season, okay? Thanks for the time.
Anytime, Rich.
You're the man.
Anytime.
You got it. Fox Sports, Mark Schlereth right here on the Rich Eisen Show podcast and so many more ways so to follow what he has to say. So you had 12, he had 13, I had 15.
Okay.
What say anyone else out there? 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
My name is Happy Gilmore. I haven't swung a club in years.
You know what you gotta do?
Grip it and rip it.
Or... Oh, now that is some Happy Gilmore!
Everyone is talking about the comeback kid, Happy Gilmore.
Happy knee.
Yeah, baby!
Happy Gilmore 2, only on Netflix July 25th. Rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Seattle is hosting New Orleans in a playoff game.
Correct.
Up in Seattle.
And we played them earlier.
Played them early.
In the season. So it's not uncommon. We played them on Monday Night Football 5 weeks prior. And now we are back in the divisional round at Seattle. Only it's a little different. We're staying over across the water in Bellevue. And so the first thing in the morning when I get up is I have a waffle. You know, the whipped cream, strawberries, and I'm flipping through the networks trying to get either ESPN or NFL Network. Who's going to give me the forecast? There's NFL Network. I got it. And they're going to these sites where the divisional games are going to be played. And they're talking about, this is sunny here, blah, blah, blah. And then to Seattle, and they get to the Seahawks stadium, and I know that it's going to be, and you can see the wind. And... I'm eating my waffle and they pan down on Russell Wilson and Drew Brees throwing a football on the field in their grays. I'm going to tell you where I'm supposed to be at that moment when they're throwing a football. I am supposed to be meeting with the officials, discussing the inactives, all right, and getting ready to say the Lord's Prayer and give our players a pep talk. That's where I'm supposed to be at that moment. I stumble out of the bed. This is my worst nightmare. I know I'm a half an hour away from the stadium, and I'm thinking to myself, national anthem, I'm in my underwear, late to the game. Right? That's the nightmare that I have.
Wow.
And I just saw Breeze and Russell Wilson warming up, and I run to the shower, call my assistant, can't get him. The waffle is spilled on the floor. I get back, my assistant says, hey, what's up? And I said, when did the buses leave? No one called. He said, Coach, the buses haven't left yet. They had taken B-roll from the Monday night game.
Someone in the tape room ran the wrong tape.
Can you imagine? I text Falk. He's on set with Rich. I said, what are you guys doing? I had a cow. Like, I'm telling you, you have no idea. We're talking about being like, this is the divisional playoff game, not being there for the kickoff. As the head coach. That's how late I was.
And Sean, just Marshall showing me the text. We went back and forth.
I arrived. This guy now is live on the field, and I peek out at the stadium only because of the conditions, and I take a look, and Rich says, good to have Sean Payton here at the stadium on time. Just some sly comment that not one person's going to understand until we tell this story.
Amazing.
Listen, not only does the guy have a Hall of Fame resume, and certainly if he wins one with the Denver Broncos, although that said, there's a Denver Broncos head coach that should get in the Hall of Fame too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Mike Shanahan.
Mike Shanahan should be.
But this man is, in the 22 years that I've been with NFL Network, coming up on season 23, a Hall of Fame, Mount Rushmore, top-notch storyteller.
He really is.
Sean Payton. As great a storyteller as there is. And boy, does he have stories. Stories for days. I would read that man's memoir whenever he wants to write one. I don't know if he's ever going to do that. I remember the Pro Bowl that he coached when he was with the Saints, and he gave out Tony Romo's room number to break the huddle. Oh, yeah. Because they went to the same college together, just to bust his stones. Unbelievable. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, what would you, Rich Eisen Show listener or viewer, give up so your favorite team would win a championship? That question was asked of Scottie Scheffler on the pod with today's Pardon My Take?
Yeah, I think it came out today.
Okay, with the PFT and Big Cat, roll it.
Gosh, I don't know. I would trade one for sure for a Super Bowl.
Okay.
I mean, I've been rooting for a Super Bowl for a long time as well. A lot of hard work gone into, you know, cheering on the boys, and arguably a lot more disappointment in football than there is in golf.
He said he would give up a major.
He's got
for
two
the Cowboys to win it.
He's got two green jackets, so you know.
So you would give up because
give up one of those Masters?
Well, I mean, you're not going to give up the Open Championship you just won.
Nope.
Or the PGA Championship you won earlier this year, because that's the
part of
two
the,
extra
exactly.
spokes of the Grand Slam, career right. Grand Slam wheel.
An extra leg, you'd have to go back and re-win.
He'd give up a green jacket. I mean, you'd have to, right? Like if you had to drill down.
No brainer.
But it's easy for him to say something like that.
He's
like,
four majors.
Would I give up an Emmy Award for the Yankees to win a World Series so I don't have to hear it from you anymore?
Would you?
And my son, Cooper, my son, Cooper, would get to see the Yankees win. He's 14. He all he hears is stories from his dad.
We've seen him win, though.
And thank God he was in summer camp off a screen when they had four errors the other night to give him 10 on the season against the, or 12 on the season against the Blue Jays, who they can't beat. And that doesn't even include Cody Bellinger losing a ball in the lights after they tied the game again because Aaron Judge hit career homer 356 to put him sixth place on the all-time Yankee list for home runs. Am I? You're getting my drift? But I would say that, except for the fact I don't have any Emmys.
But if you had
I guess I have my 1996 Sports.
But if you had a best, if you had a best host Emmy, would you give that up for a Jets Super Bowl?
One. Studio.
If I had two.
Exactly.
You only have one.
Nah, yeah.
Because you said, would I give up a major? He's got four of them. Easy for him to say. I wish TJ was here. What would he give up? A ping pong table that is still boxed up as a parting gift from his loss? The Price is Right? What would he give up?
Can't give up a motorcycle.
He doesn't have it. Well,
but if he had won it, he'd have two. He could say he could give up one.
That's true. That's what I'm saying. He could have given away a motorcycle.
So, no, I want to win an Emmy for us. Right?
No, but it's you, best studio host.
Yeah. So, me personally?
It's you personally.
If I had two, I'd give up one.
To watch the Yankees?
For my son is not seen Jack on top of you.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one.
What about the Jets?
That's a good one.
Really?
That's the Larry David.
For your brother?
You wouldn't. Oh, for my brother. Sure, for my brother.
Okay. See?
Yeah.
Look at you.
For your father. For your father.
Good sibling.
Yeah. I'm brother of the year as far as best brother ever. I'm the only one he's got. So, you know.
Would you rather?
What would you give up? Well, what you've already got for one.
What are you going to
give up for?
He's seen everything.
What are you talking about?
Oh, guy. You be quiet. Masshole.
He's seen everything.
Syracuse football.
Now we're talking.
Where your team, Syracuse football,
man,
is up there with Georgia and the Ohio State.
That'd be awesome.
And let's go.
I don't really have
Texas,
any.
Michigan, and here comes Syracuse into the field of 12, and they go on a run.
Oh, that would be unbelievable.
How wild would that be for you?
Crazy.
I would have given everything.
Like, what would you give up?
Would I like never golf again or like stuff like that? Is that what we're talking about?
But again,
I don't have any personal accolades.
Scottie Scheffler was asked, would he give up one major? He's got four. He could give up one jacket, which obviously is,
I mean,
that's a lot. I mean, that's any jacket you win from.
Right.
You know, and by the way, the people at Augusta National are like, hell, he'd give that up. He'd try and win the Open again. He's not giving up a jacket because that way when you amass them, That's how you catch Jack or Tiger or whatever. That's how you separate.
That's right.
You when you have that. Jackets, plural.
It's true.
So I'm not denigrating that it's, oh, great. Let me give up something I already have in multitudes.
But he's, what would you give up? Scotty's never seen a Cowboy championship, so.
That's right. How old is he?
He's, what, 29, 30?
I got it right here. Oh, hold on a minute. He's 29.
Oh, yeah.
So he's born in 96.
Wow.
He was born on June 21st, 1990. So, by the way, it's the same birthday as my brother.
Yeah.
96.
Yeah, his family moved to Texas when he was six, so he's been a diehard Cowboy fan.
So this was probably, he was probably born a couple weeks before they beat Neil O'Donnell. Wouldn't that have been in January of 96?
Yeah.
But he was... His family was living in New Jersey at the time.
Well, he's just on the planet.
Yeah.
He was on the planet. Yeah, but he didn't say it. Yeah. You got to be a, yeah.
Super Bowl 30 was January 28th, 96.
Yeah.
So he was born later on. He's never been on the planet.
What I mean. Wow.
He was 3 months into gestation. Did I say those things? What would you give up to Syracuse football for the ages? Team 144 for me. Michigan winning it all.
Rich.
You saw how I reacted.
Of course.
It's truly one of the greatest.
It's also because it's your school.
And my son's daughter saw it.
All right, I'll give up one Patriots Super Bowl.
Michigan Seton Hall. I'd give everything up.
Congratulations, Chris. Your wish is granted.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
Why? Because you're not playing me.
With rapid-fire takes.
And a lot to get to, and I'm not sure you're going to like all of it. Honestly, I don't even care if you like all of it or not. I have a job to do.
Scorching debates.
On any given week, you have lots to beef about. Take advantage of it. Get up in here.
He's the spitfire of sports smack.
She's not my fault. We will get to all of that.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
Get up in here, and we'll beef later on. What's your beef?
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You've been warned.